Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run. And you can go to our website, which is conspiracyclose.com/nowhere to run, all one word. And that's coming together quite nicely, so I encourage you to take a visit to it. And as always, you can reach me at chris@conspiracyclose.com. So anyway, let's get right into it. There's a lot of really interesting things we need to get to. And there's just no time to waste anymore. So, and again, as far as all this research is concerned, please continue it. If you find a particular thing that you find interesting, please continue it. I wish I had more time with you today. I've been in a rush, got to go out of town and stuff. So I've this is kind of sloppy research, and I will admit to that. And I probably am wrong in some things. But as always, I think we're getting closer thanks to your prayers. And thanks, which is how you support this show, to keep me from giving out disinformation, which there is so much of in this field. Okay, so what I first wanted to talk about was Bill Cooper and this what's called the Mystery of Babylon series, which is a series that he did in his radio show, which was like in the 90s, like early 90s, called The Hour of the Time. And it was on shortwave and a few other things, but he did this radio show, and he basically was the beginner of all this stuff. I mean, he was, I think, admittedly, Alex Jones's, you know, role model and everything. Bill Cooper is a freaking amazing guy, and I really encourage specifically to go find a collection of all the Mystery of Babylon series, which is like, I don't know, he did like 30 or some odd hours, I don't know, of this Mystery of Babylon series. Download every single one of them and put them all into a file on your MP3 player and just and absorb it all. You absolutely need to, and here's why. This guy was, I mean, he's dead now. He got killed, but he, I think he got killed like a week or two after 9/11, which obviously he was talking about what 9/11 was. He was talking about what the first World Trade Center bombing was, in fact, but he's talking about exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, he was trying desperately, it seemed, to prove what I'm trying to prove. And that is that this whole, I mean, UFO cult thing is a creation of the very same people that are controlling us and trying to find out why it is that they want us to believe that. And he also was trying to expose that the mystery religion of the Masonic order and mystery religion of all the secret orders, what they believe is what we're beginning to believe. We're buying a lie that they themselves have bought. And, you know, you hear so much today, and something that I've often tried to show you how absolutely unsubstantiated it is, but it doesn't seem to matter because we'll just believe it because in the secular world, people just want to believe it. But this whole idea of the Christ that came before Jesus, like Horus and Osiris and, you know, Dionysius and all this stuff, it's almost taken and taught in schools today like it's just the most you know, obvious thing in the world. And that whole idea, as Bill Cooper was showing you, I mean, this is a guy who studied, you know, the mystery religions, and he is, you know, read more books than you know, whatever. You'll see what I'm saying if you listen to this. But this is a guy that understood their philosophy very, very well, much better than they did in a lot of ways. So it's incredibly interesting to see that he's pointing out that they themselves were believing a lie that they refused to see. And it comes from a lot of different things like this. There's a lot of ways to look at this. And one of the ones I might want to set some of you on, if you, which you will See, but like a guy named Plutarch, for example. Plutarch was a definite initiate of these mystery schools and everything, and he basically wrote a lot of biographies and things like that. He was kind of like Herodotus, whatever. But he actually was kind of a detractor. In fact, he wrote like a scathing review of Herodotus, like saying that he was, you know, he had all this stuff wrong and all this stuff. It really wasn't much about nitpicking. It was just kind of like a bash, which is interesting considering, you know, his version of history became, for the Masons, more acceptable than the stuff that Herodotus, whatever, was saying. I don't know. Somebody email me a correct pronunciation of the father of history's name. So it's interesting, very, very, very interesting, speaking of Plutarch, that he was born after Christ, just after Christ, after Christ's death, and that was about 46 or something like that. I don't know, let me find out. He was born in 46 A.D. and died in 120 A.D. And says his he was a Greek historian, biographer, essayist in the middle Plutonist. Basically, he wrote what this Osiris-Isis connection that is basically the textbook Bible of the mystery schools as we know them today, or a lot of it. This whole idea of what Osiris was and all this stuff this whole collection of it was brought together by Plutarch. And apparently, nobody's really ever thought, even in modern historians, that Plutarch could have an agenda other than just pure history. Because the Egyptians, when you look past Plutarch, I mean, this is a guy who's writing after Christ's death. So, I mean, he knew about as much about what went down in ancient Egypt, ancient Egypt is, people not too much different than today. I mean, for all, he's not contemporary by any means, but he's certainly not, whatever. So anyway, and he's without a doubt a initiate to these mystery schools. And so he is, and they hated Christianity. It's funny how like the only, and this is a guy who rewrote basically for our now consumption what the mystery schools was about. So when you hear people talking about Isis is this and that and Jesus is, you know, all this stuff, all these different things. And the same, they do the same thing with the other gods like Dionysus and everything else. It's really very, very interesting to see what's going on with that stuff. Like here's this guy, for instance, Godfrey Higgins. And he wrote a book called Anacalypsis. And in Anacalypsis, and this guy was alive around, this is 1700, 1772, died in 1833. And this is the guy where all the stuff about Dionysus was Jesus came from. I mean, and nobody seems to question it. I mean, do you think a dude in the 1770s was, knew any more about Dionysus really than we do now? I mean, it's only been 200 years. So anyway, my point is the guy was very clearly a Freemason. I mean, it's right there in his biography in a Freemason. But the problem is, if you don't quote this guy in the 1700s, you can't find any of these similarities with Dionysus by checking the actual accounts of Dionysus. You have to go through it filtered through this dude. And that's why when you go to zeitgeistmovie.com/sources, the only ancient document that you're going to find there is the King James Version of the Bible. They cannot quote any ancient sources of, they can't quote what actually happened with Horus or what actually happened with Dionysus or any other god for that matter, because it doesn't happen unless you hear Jordan Maxwell tell it, or you hear Massey tell it, or you hear this Akira S. I mean, go look into Ikyra S. I mean, it's not even worth the time to debunk her. She does it herself. And so here's the guy. So when people talk about, you know, the stuff that Jordan Maxwell's spitting in the movie Zeitgeist is saying, they don't realize that they are saying a lie. They're repeating a lie that the people that are controlling and killing us believe because of their absolute seething hatred for Christians. If you are a Christian in this world today, you are in serious danger because the people believe you to be the enemy. And I just can't believe how we have fallen for the same lie. It's like Stockholm Syndrome. It's like this whole world has fallen for this the very same theology that those who are killing us believe, those who are torturing us, you know, have sold us their religion, and we bought it because I don't know. I guess in a lot of ways it comes from our personal experience. Like in that interview I did not too long ago, it was funny because it was like it really drove it home that, and I knew this from before, but a lot of people's problems with Christianity deals with a personal issue. Their parents, somebody they knew, they got abused, whatever it was that turned them away from Christianity was a personal issue. Maybe somebody got cancer, somebody died, there's something unjust and bad happened that is a result of any number of things that are going on in this poisoned world that we live in. And it was blamed in their heads on the God of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ and everything else is in their mind the to blame. And that's not an accident. And they nobody ever stops to think that it's problem reaction solution at its finest, you know? I mean, if they could attack, which they obviously did, you know, attack the family unit and separate that as a nucleus, and to attack that, then you could create a lot of problems. If they could get us away from practicing the law, like here's an example. If they could get us away, well, let me finish my statement. If they could get us away from practicing a law that we've been practicing for 2,000 years, then things will start to break down and problems will occur, and then the devil can use that to turn us away from the problem in the first place. My example, like I was just hearing somebody talk about how they're never going to get married because marriage never works out and all this stuff. And, you know, that's a brainwashing technique. Everybody in the world is almost saying the same thing. It's like marriage doesn't work. It's just, you know, every marriage ends in divorce. Oh, and everybody in my family gets divorced, went divorce. I'm never going to get married. Marriage doesn't work. And I've never seen a marriage work. Blah, 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 blah. And, it's repeated so often, it becomes obvious that it's brainwashing. I mean, that's what every show on TV is about and whatever. It's an attack on the nucleus of family, but let me show you, or try to show you, why I think it's doable. You know, take, for example, that we haven't been, how long has it been since sex before marriage, for example, has been an acceptable practice? I mean, it was always done, but you know, to a far greater extent, it's now encouraged. It's now, you're an absolute social outcast in this country if you haven't had sex before marriage before the age of what? It's getting lower and lower and lower. And then we have the nerve to say that marriage doesn't work because it doesn't, you know, and nothing works, it's marriage's fault, you know, for trying to tie you down or something. When that wasn't a rule to say, hey, you know, I'm a big meanie God and I don't want you to do that because I just want to set some rules so you have to follow them. I mean, that's what you think in your head, but really it was to protect the institutions like that. I mean, most people will never even understand what the benefits and what a true strong union could be like, what it's supposed to be like, because they've failed to follow the some basic laws that were set down that I gotta submit have only been like not followed for what, like, let's say, let's be generous and say 100 years out of what, 2,000 years? And that's now our general thinking now is, oh, well, people 2,000 years ago or 500 years ago or 200 years ago, they were archaic dumbasses. I mean, there's no possible way that they could be as smart as I am. I mean, we've got computers and everything else. We're geniuses, and they just were stupid people. And that, I got to tell you guys, we're really, really stupid. We may have computers, but their brains and their logic and everything about their brains worked just fine and probably a lot better than us, as we're being attacked in that area, not just with fluoride in the water, but, you know, all the foods that are being, we're stupid compared to those people. And, And as we've moved away from it, we've just been told that we're smarter and that that's why. And I mean, even in the history of this country, it's half of this country. We did, you know, just follow those basic laws. I'm not saying coming down on us for doing that. I mean, I'm just saying it's just, you know, it's hypocritical to say that. And that's not even my point. Sorry about that rant on that, but I do think it's important. Anyway, let me move on to something that is very interesting. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you knew that me and Frank Lordy had a theory about the pyramids and what was under the pyramids. And that was basically a gateway to the abyss, as it were. And there were different things used to prove that. I want to show you that we may have been a little wrong, or at least not too wrong. There might be some truth to it, but I think that the methods fell into an easy trap, which I myself have done all over and over and over again. And so let me show you what I'm saying. Basically, the processes for coming to the conclusion that something dark and mysterious was under the pyramid is coming from a lot of different areas, and it appears definitely to be, at least in modern and early ancient and even ancient times, the pyramid was a tomb, or not a tomb rather, but an initiation grounds, a place for the mystery schools to initiate those people that would be priests and so on in the mystery schools. So they revere it, and there's no doubt that they do, and there's no doubt that some of the wickedest people that we have ever encountered in this world have been initiated to that wickedness within the Great Pyramid. And even you know, the part of the initiation was lying in the sarcophagus. There is plenty of places to find references to that, but you know, not as many. But it's not my point. What one of the things that both Frank and I fell into was this idea of these emerald tablets of Thoth. Now, this is a really slick sleight of hand thing going on here. There is something called the Emerald Tablet of Hermes. Now, Hermes is attributed to Thoth, as well as some other things like Mercury and different things. And it is a very actual established ancient document that many people have done translations of, Isaac Newton being other ones. It is, in fact, the tablet that is kind of the main thing in Hermeticism, which is like this, you know, ancient mystery school thing, the as above, so below thing, really comes from this Emerald Tablet of Hermes. And, you know, Hermes, in some respects, was thought to have built the pyramid and different things like that, but not really any kind of indication. Now this tablet is about 14 lines long, and it does not talk about some of the things that we were thinking. Now, where the trick, the sleight of hand comes in, is that there is an occult document that is not substantiated. This document is said to be 36,000 BC, and it was an Atlantean document translated by somebody that could only read this inscription on the Emerald Tablets, which were subsequently lost, yada, yada, yada. And this is the one that we were talking about that said all this stuff about Thoth saying that he, one of the initiations was to lie down in the sarcophagus and have a astral projection experience and go meet this Dark Lord underneath and everything else. And I will say, of that, the first tablet of this occult document found mostly, as far as I can tell, on this website called crystallinks.com. Now, the first of, it's like 13 tablets, I think, reads like an ancient document should. It reads, and it's a little vague enough, and it is like, you know, it is like easily to believe, especially when you do a Wikipedia search on emerald tablets and it directs you to the emerald tablet of Hermes, which is known as Thoth, and you find out that it is substantiated in an ancient document and it was translated by Isaac Newton and everything, which is not this other one. Now, what started making me think about it is I was trying to do a research about it the other day, and I was reading this tablet that me and Frank had been looking into, and I got past the first tablet, and I was going to go on to the second one, and I did, and I started reading it, and the second one was a lot less reading like an ancient tablet. It was more reading like, you know, Michael Tessarian or something wrote it, and didn't ring of any kind of realness, and I was like, wait a minute, this is fake. And especially because it was saying the kind of things that was like obviously prepping some dumb new ager for belief and all these crazy things. So I started looking into it, and sure enough, it's total bumpkus. One of my favorite moderators on AboveTopSecret.com forum, Bird, had this to say about it. Where'd he go? He said, "These tablets are a golden knowledge type hoax. It is the type of hoax someone shows up with a translation of, something that contains knowledge undiscovered by a modern science, history, or religion. The words were written on some sort of unusual substance. The words were seen only by the one who wrote the message down, and the guardian, angel, monk, etc., just happened to be the only person with the key to translating this lost knowledge. The mystery tablets then vanish. There is a number of these running around. They are generally done for one of two reasons: financial, the person has a book to sell, and religious, philosophical, the person has an inspiration and wants the world to believe that inspiration. The best way is with a golden knowledge type hoax." Okay, so the thing that makes me discredit some aspects of it is that I think that a lot of the New Agers will use the this tablet to say that there are, you know, obviously something is under the pyramid if you're reading this tablet. A lot of people say it's a UFO and everything else. Anyway, my point is that part of it seems to be wrong. That while if using that emerald tablets of Thoth to prove that, it would be wrong. Now, the emerald tablet itself, is more kind of poetic about the as above, so below. It definitely is very, very hermetic, sacred stuff to them, but definitely doesn't really have anything to do with it. And that's the substantiated one. Now, in its defense that there is something to do with the Great Pyramid and it's very occult and initiated, you can go look at a lot of things. Something hit me while I was reading the Bible the other night when they were talking about the God was laying out the measurements for the Ark of the Covenant and saying that he wanted, you know, that's where he was going to be. He was going to, you know, his presence was going to be there. It made me think of the connection between the Ark of the Covenant and that sarcophagus in the King's Chamber. Now, according to different people, Chuck Missler and other people that have not trying to prove the Chuck Missler type point of view, that the volume of that stone granite sarcophagus is exactly that of the Ark of the Covenant, and seeing as how I see the pyramid as a perversion right now, I could go the other way, right now I see the pyramid as a perversion of a lot of the stuff that God did, and it's actually Satan's and the Nephilim's under their direction of Satan built this thing. I can see that stone sarcophagus is kind of Satan's perversion of his own ark, which is actually, it's called an ark by different people in the mystery religions and so on. And since it's the same volume, I could see Satan using that to indwell his spirit, to dwell in that little box. You know what I'm saying? Like, that it would be a perversion of what God did with the Ark of the Covenant at that time. Now, you know, it's really interesting to go look into some of the things that are said about this and its relationship to a initiation rite. Here, let me read. This is from, I can't seem to find that. But let me just say, I think that there's something very weird going on there. Obviously, you have all these people like, Crowley and Napoleon and Art Bell and all these people that in modern times have known to have weird things happen when they lie in the sarcophagus. And you hear all these stories as you go through and can find whatever you can. Keep in mind the actual mystery religions you're probably not going to find too much on the internet about, but you should be able to see shadows of it if you look deep enough about what it is that's supposed to happen in this initiation in the Great Pyramid. And Bill Cooper actually points out some interesting things about people like you know, these ancient historians and people that are, you know, propagating this Christ myth and stuff. You know, when they talk about their initiations, they believed enough in this to go to Egypt, you know, risk these huge journeys and like stay there for years being initiated into this, you know, whatever and whatever was happening. And you know, they always seem like they got what they were looking for out of it. And, you know, it just over and over and over again, something extraordinary was happening there. But, you know, and anyway, basically, some of the descriptions of the initiation basically is you sit in the stone sarcophagus and 3 days and three nights after, you know, all this stuff. But a lot of this is also probably skewed from the Emerald Tablets of Thoth as well. It's very, very important to realize that that a lot of this is coming from the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And that's, you know, a lot of people are propagating that. I guess just probably got sucked into the same trap that I did and others have. And that is taking those tablets as ancient documents, when in fact they're probably, you know, very recent documents, and not even documents is probably giving them a little too much credit. But it, you know, it's really interesting when I got to the second tablet, quote unquote tablet of this Emerald Tablets of Thoth, that it was reading exactly what Michael Tsarian was trying to prove in that. And I don't know if he is just a dupe because he was basically saying some of that verbatim. I mean, I don't know if that was like, you know, where he's getting a lot of this stuff. Like it almost spells it out as clear as possible that, you know, the New Age, alien story is almost, you know, not left much to the imagination. Like if you read this and you think that they are real ancient documents, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, there were aliens from other planets and they came down here and they made underground caves and they have spaceships and we should worship them. And they wrote the Bible. And, more or less, but, okay, let's see here. Okay. So kind of in conclusion to that, which is not definitely shouldn't be concluded there, but, you know, I think that, I think that the pyramid is used as an initiation. I can't think of any logical reason. I do still think that the abyss under the pyramid thing could very, very well be real. In fact, I am leaning towards that more than any other theory that I can have, even after all this research in it. But we can't use that occult document of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Although it does, in its defense, again, I can't think of any reason. And again, in my head, even though this is obviously some kind of fabrication, in my head, I separate this first tablet, the one that was used to make this connection, and the rest of the 12 tablets, which are obviously badly written UFO cult type situations. So I separate even that first one of the 13 fake documents as more valid, and I can't think of any reason why that particular document, who nobody has really even suggested, which it sounds exactly like what we were talking about, that this is the sarcophagus is to be laid into to start an astral projection episode in order to meet the devil under the pyramid. I mean, it can't really be translated any other way, I don't think. And, you know, reading through it, it's like so obvious, but it does. I can't think of any reason why somebody would want to, an occult document would want to try to propagate that. So I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but I will say that I don't know, and I still stand by the idea that I don't think that I'm okay with like Enoch having built the pyramid and that people were there spending their time, you know, that I don't know. It's really hard to say, but I just lean on it being built by the Nephilim, and maybe even surviving the flood in there. Maybe that's what it was meant by. They were on the earth afterwards as well. When it talks about them being the flood in Genesis 6. So, I don't know. My conclusion is a non-conclusion, and I just wanted to... It was basically a correction, I guess, but... Okay, moving on a little bit. I just wanted to put forth a theory that I've done absolutely no research on. It was just something I heard Steve Quayle talk about on the Alex Jones Show and got me to thinking, you know, he had said that... that a lot of these, that there was preparing a sacrifice, the New World Order, that is a big sacrifice. And, you know, he'd heard from high level people in the military and stuff like that, that there was going to be just, you know, a lot of Americans going to die, you know, in it. And, you know, I kind of feel that way too. I mean, I don't think that there's much room for America in Bible prophecy, and, you know, I just imagine that it's probably true, but it doesn't mean, you know, that we should be, you know, even if it's true, for us to be sad about it. I mean, just it should make us devoted to saving some souls before it happens. I mean, for us to die is gain. It really is. It's hard to perceive that it really is a good deal for us to not be in this body and to be in heaven, because it rocks, apparently. So, but anyway, that's not my point. My point was that you know, speaking of sacrifices, and that's what these people do. I mean, they have, as pointed out by Michael Tesserian, and this one thing I definitely agree with him about, is that the people like John Dee and Aleister Crowley, who had done Enochian magic, and I am certain similar things have been done, and that the people in charge of certain various governments around the world are in contact with extra-dimensional demonic angel-type beings who give them information and power and guidance in exchange for blood. That is the price that they have to pay. And they, I believe, are forced to start wars in particular areas to appease the gods, and they are fearful, very, very, very scared, and so they go through great lengths to get people in those areas so that they could sacrifice them to those gods, which makes it crazy, very, very interesting, don't you think, that that all these troops are being sent to Iraq, Babylon, Persia. I mean, it is the Prince of Persia, which is a geographical demon god who literally, I mean, all these ancient high-ranking angels are, and probably much like the low-ranking ones, are confined to certain areas, like the ones in the last days that were confined east of the Euphrates, or bound at the river Euphrates, I think is what it says. And the Prince of Persia, for example, when I think it was Michael was coming to give... Daniel, the prophetic message that he wrote in Daniel 10, is it? Somewhere around there. And Michael says, you know, I would have came earlier, but the Prince of Persia bound me, and, you know, we had a bit of a fight. And so the Prince of Persia is apparently a pretty high-ranking angel if he was able to give Michael a pause. And so, and Michael being apparently pretty proud angel and whatnot, or not proud, that's probably not a good description, but a very powerful, high-ranking good angel. And anyway, so my point was that probably a lot of our leaders are slaves, absolute slaves to the, I mean, they're paying a price. They have to pay off their debt. We think our debt is bad. Imagine if the debt to evil entities is blood, and you have to find more and more blood for them, and you have to make sure that it's done in certain ways and in certain places. That's debt, man. That is the debtor is slave to the lender, you know. So the people that are really in the know are very, very frightened people, and they should be, I would imagine. But anyway, that's a theory that a lot of the wars are fought in different places, and that's why a lot of the people in the military wear different symbols on their uniforms and are sacrificed in different ways at different times. So I will leave you with that. It's going to be a short-ish show tonight because I do have to run here pretty soon, and I just wanted to get some of these things out there and encourage you guys to research them for yourself, and definitely wanted to remind you to go download, find the Bill Cooper Mystery of Babylon series and get it in your MP3 player immediately and start absorbing it. It's very, very important information and all that stuff. What else was there? Make sure you turn off the TV. We've done a show here that explains explicitly that back in the, 70s were able to piggyback literal hypnosis tapes onto TV and radio signals and can literally bypass your ears and go directly into your brain which gives your, gives you no chance of disseminating it or no chance of rather, discerning, or which is hypnosis's main problem is that it needs to get you into a place where your subconscious mind is, gets directly or more directly to your subconscious mind, not to through your conscious, because your conscious mind is able to determine, that sounds a little stupid. I don't think I'm going to believe that. And so it doesn't quite get into your subconscious, but if it can get directly into your brain through a radio, or I don't even know if it's a radio signal, it's a, you can read about it. I got show notes on the website and other things, and the show about it. But anyway, so turn off the TV. They're hypnotizing you. I was just explaining to my mom the other day that, I haven't watched TV in so long. I think it's just funny how everybody seems to be just saying the same things and stuff. I think I'm going to walk outside of my house one day and everybody's just going to be jabbing their eyes with forks or something, and like, I'm like, what are you doing? And, they're just going to not even know. It's like, I don't know. I think I'm supposed to do this. It's just total brainwashing. And probably the more watched shows are the ones that are being used the most, for carrying those type signals. I don't know. Again, if anybody wants to do some more research on the ELF, extremely low frequency wave connection, I really think something bad is happening with that. Still something we don't talk about very much here, but chemtrails. I mean, can somebody please email me a reasonable hypothesis of what's going on with chemtrails? Chris@conspiracyclothes.com, CHRIS@conspiracyclothes.com. I mean, I see them everywhere all the time. They are obviously inundating us with these chemtrails. We are being poisoned. It's like, that is, you can eat organic food and you can drink spring water and whatnot, but you just can't stop breathing air. You just can't go buy organic air. And what are we going to do about that? I mean, if it is something that they're going to electrolyze with the ELF waves or whatever, we're screwed. I mean, we are absolutely and totally screwed if that's the case. But remember that our hope is not here. This is not all there is to life, as it were. We are eternal beings. It says in the Bible, we must put on the eternal clothing. That's a paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me. But, whether we like it or not, we're forever. And I'm submitting that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has comprehended what God has in store for those who love him. Remember that there is a literal war going on to make sure that you guys will believe the religion that they got sucked into believing and absolutely believe themselves. So don't get fooled into thinking Zeitgeist has freed your mind from a system of control. And don't let anybody confuse the Catholic Church and the pagan history of the Catholic Church for what they were killing, which is true Christians. They've always killed true Christians. Rome never died. It just put on a new hat. And Rome was the number one killer of Christians before and after that hat. So never let anybody show you the pagan history of the Catholic Church and show you the differences and what, look at all these crusades and all the stuff that it's done that's absolutely evil, and then try to say, see, I told you Christianity was bad. You cannot compare the two. It is not the same thing. They killed more Christians than anybody in the history of the era. So, well, I don't know that for a fact, but it's a lot. Okay, I guess I'm out of here. Thanks for your time, and I'll see you next week. Sorry for the short show. You can go to the website, which is conspiracyclothes.com/nowhere to run, and you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. Take it easy, guys.